There's a common belief that the Buddha taught that we have to accept everything. But for the life of me, I don't know what the Pali term for accept is. He did teach that craving is the cause of suffering. And craving means the desire to have things differently from the way they are. So from that, some people conclude that you just have to accept things and you'll be okay. But if you're still hungry, no matter how much you may accept the fact that you're hungry, it doesn't make you okay. And when you look more carefully at the Buddha's teachings, you realize that in the Four Noble Truths, he divides desire into two types. There's the three types of craving under the Second Noble Truth. And then there's the desire that you generate under the factor of right effort in the path, the Fourth Noble Truth. Generate desire to abandon unskillful qualities that have already arisen, to prevent ones that haven't arisen from arising, to give rise to skillful qualities that are not there, and to maintain and develop the ones that are there. So it's not that we don't want things to be different from what they are. We just have to be very selective where we focus our desires. And learn how to curb the desires that are actively causing suffering. Ultimately, at some point in the path, you get to the point where you have to let go of all desires. But you don't do that until the path has done a lot of its work. So as you're sitting here meditating, it's perfectly fine to want to get the mind into concentration and to want to get past any of the hindrances. Simply a matter of learning how to be skillful in your desires. When you want something that bad, what do? Well, you look for the causes. What helps the mind to settle down? The Buddha says, views made straight and purified virtue. Those are the basis for mindfulness and then right mindfulness. And then right mindfulness is the basis for right concentration. So make sure your views are straight. That if there is suffering in the mind, no matter how much you may be suffering over bad things outside, you have to realize that the important part is how you process the bad things outside and how you process the good things outside too. Because it is possible for things outside to be perfectly fine, and you could be making yourself miserable. And it is possible, even though things are bad outside, that you don't have to suffer from them at all. That's the skill that the Buddha is asking you to develop. So it means you focus on how are you processing things. How are you processing the breath right now? As soon as you turn your attention to the breath is going to change based on your perception of the breath, your intentions around the breath, which means that the breath is a really good mirror for seeing these things. We know that one of the principles of causality that the Buddha taught was that there are some things that as soon as the cause comes, the effect is going to come. And as soon as the cause goes away, the effect goes away. And the relationship between the mind and the breath can often be that particular type of cause and effect relationship. So what image are you holding in mind right now? And how does the breath respond? If you change the image, how does the breath respond? Learn to experiment. We read about what John Lee has to say about the breath, and we give that a try. But we also have to remember that he played with the breath quite a lot and would come up with other ways of conceiving the breath, other ways of manipulating the breath. And so it's up to us to try that out too. And then see what results you get. It's this way the meditation becomes your meditation and not necessarily a John Lee's meditation. But as long as it's getting results, that's what matters. And John Mahabua made that comment in one of his Dharma talks. He says, even though there may be things that the Buddha didn't say, but if you try them out and they get good results, they're Dharma just as much as anything that he did say. And this way you get to learn how to read your desires. Because if your desires are focused on the causes, and you look at the causes you're doing and then the effects you're getting, you can get a better and better sense of which desires really are skillful and which are not. So in a case like this, when things are not going well, you don't just content yourself by the fact that the mind is distracted, sleepy, blurry. You want to overcome any of the hindrances, overcome any of the things that are getting away of clear, mindful, alert, steady concentration. And it's perfectly fine to want as much as you want in that direction, just as long as you do it skillfully. As for desires outside that would pull you away from the concentration, no matter how much you've identified with them in the past, no matter how much the mind can give all kinds of reasons for why it should want this kind of food and this kind of clothing and this kind of shelter and this kind of whatever, you've got to realize those are where you're going to find the cause of suffering. So this is why we practice contentment. This is why contentment with material things, food, clothing, and shelter, is one of the customs of the noble ones. This is the chant we chanted just now. It makes that distinction. You take delight in developing, delight in abandoning. In other words, you take delight in changing the level of skill in your mind. That kind of desire is perfectly fine. It should be encouraged and it should be developed. As for the desires that aim at getting your food just like this, getting your shelter just like that, your clothing just like this, those are the desires that should be curbed. When you're behaving in this way, you're following in the customs of the noble ones. And as the Buddha said, you're learning how to overcome delight and irritation. You learn to be a conqueror. That sutta on the customs of the noble ones seems to be a takeoff on a customary sutta or customary belief back in those days when you would have your family traditions. And you would claim, especially if you're a noble warrior, that your family traditions would protect you in all directions, because you would be a conqueror in all directions. You would conquer your enemies. The word for enemy in Pali, arti, is very close to ardati, which is what the Buddha substituted there. You learn to overcome, if you're going to be a noble one, a member of the noble tradition, you learn how to overcome displeasure. And when you can overcome displeasure, you can go anywhere, east, west, north, south. It might not be defeated when you don't meet up with the food, clothing, and shelter that you'd like. So when things are good, learn how to show some restraint, because they're not always going to be good. And focus your real desires on how you're going to train the mind. So you can develop the kind of concentration that will stand you in good stead no matter what things are happening outside. mountains can move in, crushing living beings, you can still be okay if the mind is well trained. That's the kind of mind state you want to develop. And the desire to develop that mind state is to be encouraged and trained. So it really is effective. When you learn how to take a mature attitude toward your desires, recognizing which ones are skillful, which ones are not, and how to skillfully say no to the unskillful ones and how skillfully to say yes to the skillful ones. That's when you really are following the customs of the noble ones. And you're safe wherever you go. You conquer your defilements wherever you go. That's what genuine safety is all about.